British Sky Broadcasting, Universal Pictures and Studio Canal present a working title production, Elizabeth, The Golden Age, directed by Shekhar Kapoor. Starring Kate Blanchett as Elizabeth, Samantha Morton as Mary, Queen of Scots, Clive Owen as Walter Raleigh, and Geoffrey Rush as Francis Walsingham. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. In a stained glass window, hands clasped in prayer. 1585. Spain is the most powerful empire in the world. In the glass, Spanish soldiers in armor with pike staffs, cardinals dressed in red. Philip of Spain, a devout Catholic, has plunged Europe into holy war. In the stained glass, he stands in front of the cardinals with a black beard and a rough collar. In the glass, priests torture prisoners. Only England stands against him. In the glass, a ship flying the flag of St. George, ruled by a Protestant queen. Elizabeth I, her regal image, gazes out from the stained glass window. Philip is in a dark church, praying as he kneels by a lighted candle. Monks file in beneath the high arched roof, passing marble pillars and candelabra. Come, my daughter, says Philip, walking alongside the monks. Isabella. She stands on the steps of a side altar. God has spoken to me. The time for our great enterprise has come. England is enslaved to the devil. We must set her free. He leaves the church hand in hand with Isabella. Outside, a cheering crowd greets them as they step onto a balcony. Philip releases Isabella's hand and watches her as she peers over the balustrade. She solemnly looks back at her father, then stands on tiptoe to survey the crowd. The square below her is packed. She smiles, holding a doll, an effigy of Elizabeth.
Why do you go among the people, Majesty? I tell you plainly, you will be murdered. Every Catholic in England is a potential assassin.
Be warned by the atrocities in France.
We know the Catholics take their orders from Spain. The Spanish speak openly of Mary Stuart as Queen of England in waiting. Their loyalty is to the Pope in Rome.
How many Catholics are there in England, sir?
Immense numbers, Majesty.
Half the nation cling to the old superstitions.
What would you have me do? Hang half the people of England or just imprison them?
We must act, Majesty. Our inaction is perceived as weakness.
If my people break the law, they shall be punished. Until that day, they shall be protected.
Majesty, we have proven reason to fear every Catholic in the
land. Fear creates fear. I am not ignorant of the dangers, sir. But I will not punish my people for their beliefs, only for their deeds. I'm assured that the people of England love their queen. My constant endeavour is to earn that love.
Fotheringay Castle, Mary Queen of Scots prison. A horse and cart crosses a bridge over a lock to reach the castle. A lady in waiting descends stone steps outside, passing a woman carrying a laundry basket who slips her a note. Inside, she hurries along a corridor, preceded by a West Highland terrier. She curtsies deeply before Mary.
My queen.
Mary takes the note and leaves, hurrying up some stone steps. She stands in a dark chapel and reads it by candlelight.
Our friends write to give us hope,
Soon England's true believers will rise up against the bastard usurper Elizabeth and slit her throat.
That's enough!
Slit her throat? Please.
And when that bastard usurper is dead, my lady will be queen.
Elizabeth, surrounded by ladies-in-waiting, is on the river with Francis Walsingham.
Your bishops are preaching God is showing his displeasure because the queen is still unmarried. Some are rudely suggesting infertile.
What nonsense.
Dangerous nonsense. Mary Stuart has a son.
Why does everyone torment me with Mary Stuart? It's not her fault she's next in line to the throne. Don't hide your face.
So long as you have no issue. If you were to produce an heir, there'd be no more talk of Mary Queen of Scots.
I've heard it's customary to obtain a husband before producing an heir.
We shall have to hunt out a husband for you soon, Bess.
Not too soon, my lady.
There are husbands to be had.
You don't want to be married.
I want the marriage if I want the marriage.
Austria, France,
Turkey. Turkey has a sultan, China has an emperor.
I confine myself to the possible.
That's where you and I differ, Walsingham.
I find the impossible far more interesting.
She leans towards Bess.
What kind of man would you want?
An honest man. With friendly eyes.
Good legs. You want good legs.
Sweet pants.
You can kiss him without choking.
There must be any amount of princes in the undiscovered lands across the sea.
She smiles warmly at Bess.
Find me an honest one of those.
She playfully swats Bess with her fan. She passes stonemasons at work as she enters a church with Walsingham. Once inside, she swipes him across the back of the head.
Since when do we discuss private matters in public spaces?
I ask Your Majesty's forgiveness.
Have my doctors confirm that the Queen is still fertile?
The people need to be reassured.
I care for your safety. The threats to your person are real.
You know very well if I fall, you all come tumbling down after me.
The sea wall at Dover is cracking, Francis.
We have no money to rebuild our defences. Turn your mind to that threat.
She turns towards the altar, wearing a crimson brocade gown and a matching feathered headdress. Bess joins her, and the Queen takes her hand as they cross the stone-flagged floor.
May we have wisdom not to fear shadows in the night.
She kneels.
Courage. When the day of danger truly dawns.
Woodcutters at work in a forest. A horse and carriage pass by with outriders bearing flags. Inside, Philip. I sacrifice Spain's forests to build the greatest fleet that ever sailed. Elizabeth, why are you leading your people to hell? Isabella is playing with her Elizabeth doll.
Zorra.
Whore, says Philip. Isabella looks up at her father.
My time has come, Majesty. Send me back to England to begin God's work.
Philip nods slowly at his companion, Jesuit Robert Reston, smiling. Reston gets out and surveys a vast swathe of felled woodland. His long black cloak is ruffled by the wind. A young man, Thomas Babington, watches in the crowd as Elizabeth processes into her court under a canopy. The wind tugs at her fine net train. She wears a gold embroidered gown with a high ruff collar. A cloak is thrown down before her. She stops.
Guard!
A puddle in the way. Majesty.
The Queen haughtily observes a handsome bearded man, Raleigh.
A puddle.
She walks over it. He watches her, then stoops to pick it up, smiling as he drapes the cloak over his shoulder. Walsingham glances back at him. Bess, young, blonde and pretty, steals a look at Raleigh as she follows the Queen. Elizabeth holds out her hand. Bess passes her a prayer book. She kneels before the altar with her ladies-in-waiting.
You'll have to see the Lord Chamberlain, sir.
Which one is he?
He's over there. You can't come in.
So how am I to see him if you won't let me through?
You must wait for him to come out.
And when will he come out?
There's no way of knowing that, sir.
I had less trouble than this boarding a Spanish ship.
The Queen is on the throne being shown maps.
What if enemy ships should sail up the Thames? Why? Can the docks be closed?
Not closed, Majesty, but the gun positions here...
Spanish?
A group of Spanish men in black and gold arrive and bow deeply.
Ambassador?
King Eric of Sweden, Majesty.
What again?
Still madly in love with you.
Still mad, you mean?
Ivan.
Thank you.
Tsar of all the Russias.
Where's Bears?
Known as Ivan the Terrible, Majesty.
The Queen taps her fingers impatiently and smiles at the Spanish ambassador. Bess arrives and curtsies.
Late.
I beg your Majesty's forgiveness.
Given.
She approaches and curtsies again.
Once.
The Archduke Charles of Austria, Majesty.
The Queen winks at Bess. She sits at her side.
The puddle man is outside, Majesty.
My suitors.
Younger brother to Maximilian II. Holy Roman Emperor.
Cousin of Philip of Spain. Wealthy.
He's rather handsome.
How old is he?
Young, I believe, Majesty. An Austrian alliance would keep France quiet.
And put Philip on a leash.
I've become almost enthusiastic. Send to him.
Danke schön.
How much longer do you think I can play this game, Francis?
Virginity is an asset that holds its value well.
Walter Raleigh, Majesty.
Lousy pirate, shout the Spanish.
Your Majesty, this man is a notorious pirate. Spanish gold stolen from Spanish ships attacked without provocation.
The Queen beckons him.
Well, sir, what do you want?
I am just returned from the New World, Majesty. I have claimed the fertile coast in your name and called it Virginia. In honor of our Virgin Queen.
Virginia? And when I marry, will you change the name to Conjugia?
I ask for your gracious permission, Majesty, to return to the New World with your royal warrant to found a colony under the laws and protections of England.
He wants money.
Who are they?
Natives of the Americas, Majesty.
Two Indians kneel.
Have they no ruler of their own?
None to match England's queen.
These gentlemen are welcome. See that they are treated well.
I also come bearing gifts for your Majesty.
These gifts, Majesty, are the fruits of piracy, the true property of the realm of Spain.
Let's see, shall we? What have you brought me?
He opens a box containing earth and takes out a potato, holding it up for her to see.
Patata, Majesty. You eat it. Very nourishing.
Raleigh hands it to a courtier, who carries it at arm's length to Walsingham. He sniffs it, then turns to the Queen, who nods at him to try it. Reluctantly, he takes a bite. Raleigh offers one to the Spanish ambassador. Walsingham hands it to the Queen in a cloth.
Tobacco.
Bess takes the potato from the Queen.
You breathe its smoke. Very stimulating.
Raleigh smiles cheekily at the Queen. She nods. The courtier carries the dried leaves to Walsingham. He sniffs them. Raleigh takes a coin from a trunk full of gold.
Gold. Courtesy of a Spanish ship that found itself unable to complete its journey.
Forgive me, Majesty.
I find the air has become stale. I am sensitive to the smell of open sewer.
The Spanish ambassador glares at Raleigh and leaves with his men.
I cannot accept the fruits of piracy, Mr. Raleigh.
Philip of Spain is no friend of England, Majesty. The more gold I take from him, the safer you will be.
Well, well. A political pirate.
And your Majesty's most loyal subject.
Welcome home, Mr. Raleigh, Lord Howard, the docks.
Master Raleigh.
Raleigh leaves. The Queen watches him. Walsingham leaves the chamber and looks over at Raleigh, who's with his men. They leave, passing the Spanish ambassador, who says, "Your pirates have gone too far. My king is very angry." Raleigh ignores him. Open ground, a group of men drag another into a ruined abbey led by Reston and Babington.
You're a traitor!
Judas!
Tom!
You're Walsingham's whore! No, no.
I didn't say anything! No. Protestant traitor!
No! No!
They throw him to the ground and kick him. Babington cuts out the man's tongue. Another man, Francis, tries to restrain him, but he continues. Francis steps back, horrified, as Reston aims a gun at the bleeding man who pleads for mercy on his knees. Reston shoots him. Surrounded by dripping red robes, Reston and Babington are praying in a cellar.
Lord, have mercy on us.
The traitor's dead! We must act!
Reston slowly turns to Babington.
Why do we not strike?
What are we waiting for?
He walks over to the young man.
You wait for my order.
Francis lurks in the shadows.
Walsingham knows too much already. One traitor is dead. Who can I trust now?
A bearded man watches anxiously. Walsingham arrives home, removes his cape and hands it to his servant.
There's a visitor waiting, sir.
He wearily trudges into his apartment, where the bearded man waits.
William.
Hello, Francis.
You've always been a fellow who delighted in surprises.
You look well, Francis.
You look dreadful. They're not feeding you in Paris. You can't learn the secrets of the universe on an empty stomach.
She might hope it's
Fairy? William, supper is ready.
William?
Have you spoken to the Queen?
I speak with the Queen daily.
You work too hard. You're a sick man.
Will you come over here and sit by me?
William, if we're not allowed to sing, maybe we could talk theology.
You have done enough. No man could do more.
I can't leave the court yet, Ursa. She needs...
He never listens to me, not a thought for his health. So you talk to him. It's your brother.
William, what did they say in Paris about the Pope's call for holy war?
Many welcome it.
Why must we talk about war? Tell us your nice news, William. Are you married yet?
Not yet.
Free? Will you leave William alone, please?
Sweet. Sit. Grace?
O Lord, provider of all things, we offer thee our humble thanks. In the name of the Holy Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
In her bedchamber, the Queen looks in a mirror as Bess removes her wig and places it on a stand.
More lines on my face. Where did they come from?
Smile lines, my lady.
Smile lines? When do I ever smile?
Bess beams at the Queen, who smiles back.
Now you have smile lines too.
Bess unwraps a cloth from the Queen's head, revealing short, wispy hair.
The beauty of your majesty is dazzling to my eyes.
At court, the young German Archduke stands in front of her looking nervous.
I am overwhelmed. I am conquered. I die. Only your love, Majestätische Elisabeth, can restore me into life.
Your Highness does me great honor.
The Queen stands. A dwarf lady-in-waiting hops off the arm of the throne. The Spanish ambassador looks cynical.
Oh, Elizabeth, how blessed am I to stand in your fabled presence. Ach, Elizabeth, to speak your name is to hear celestial music. May that sweet sound guide me through my life to come. Elizabeth, I have traveled here to this illustrious court in the hope that our two great nations might be joined in love.
While a snake and a zebra have been presented to the Queen, Raleigh, smiling, has caught her eye. Elizabeth, seated at the banqueting table, beckons Bess, who's also been looking at Raleigh.
He interests me. Talk to him.
Him, my lady.
Him.
Bess nods and withdraws to find Raleigh just outside the hall, surrounded by women.
I don't suppose you'll get one for me. Dangerous, aren't
you? That depends on what you propose to do with him.
I'd dress him up in mulberry-coloured silk and have him walk behind me, carrying my...
Raleigh notices Bess and joins her by an arch. The Queen sits next to the German Archduke, her suitor.
I have a secret, my dear. I pretend there's a pane of glass and a glass shiner between me and them. They can see me, but they cannot touch me. You should try it.
He nods bashfully.
Majesty, I am...
While he struggles for words, the Queen looks away, smiling benignly, then notices Bess in conversation with Raleigh.
It is something, after all, to take a blank on the map and build there a shining city.
Which you will, no doubt, name after yourself.
No doubt.
Bess smiles demurely and looks away. The Queen, watching, drinks from a gold chalice. Babington observes in the background.
May I ask a question in return?
Of course.
How am I to win the Queen's favour?
Why should I tell you that?
I've little enough to offer, but whatever I have to give, ask, and it's yours.
Say what you mean to say as plainly as possible. All men flatter the Queen in hope of advancement. Pay her the compliment of truth.
I don't even know your name.
Elizabeth Throckmorton.
A second Elizabeth.
Everyone calls me Bess.
Your most serene majesty, bright star of our firmament, we present our humble mask of the heavenly spheres.
The performers enter the hall.
His Highness is tired after his long journey.
No man can become tired in the presence of so lovely a queen.
The Queen replies, "You play the game very well, my young friend, but don't you sometimes feel an overwhelming desire to say what you're really thinking?" He smiles. "I daren't even think what I'm really thinking." "You're thinking, perhaps," she replies, "that you'd rather be home." He answers, "You're very wise, Your Majesty." She nods and pats him on the back.
Eure Majestät.
His Highness the Archduke informs me that my charms overwhelm him. He will retire to his private chambers to rest.
She holds out her hand. He kisses it and leaves the table. Walsingham steps forward next to the Queen.
I don't want him hurt by your schemes.
So how should we proceed?
Perhaps we should all retire.
The Queen is being dressed.
I suspect him of being a professional charmer. Am I right?
He's certainly charming, my lady.
Well, there are duller professions. You like him, don't you?
He's a man that lives in a world far beyond the court. It's refreshing.
Hmm. Well, we shall let him come again.
She gives her earrings to Bess.
Blue.
She holds up her arms for her gown to be put on. She gives an audience to Raleigh.
Can you imagine what it is to cross an ocean? For weeks you see nothing but the horizon. Perfect and empty. You live in the grip of fear. Fear of storms. Fear of sickness on board. Fear of the immensity. So you must drive that fear down deep into your belly. Study your charts. Watch your compass. Pray for a fair wind. And hope. Pure, naked, fragile. Hope.
Majesty, the Archduke called it waiting.
Let them wait.
Go on, Mr. Raleigh. You were hoping?
At first, it's no more than a haze on the horizon. So you watch.
He stares into the distance.
You watch. Then it's a smudge. A shadow on the far water. For a day. For another day. The stain slowly spreads along the horizon, taking form. Until on the third day, you let yourself believe. You dare to whisper the word. Land. Land. Life. Resurrection. The true adventure. Coming out of the vast unknown, out of the immensity. Into new life. That, Your Majesty, is the new world.
She stares ahead with a serious expression. She walks next to him in a corridor.
I like your immensities. Your ocean is an image of eternity, I think. Such great spaces make us small. Do we discover the new world, Mr. Raleigh? Or does the new world discover us?
You speak like a true explorer.
I like you, Mr. Raleigh.
She playfully taps him with a feather and leaves.
And I like you.
She stops and hands the feather to Bess. She turns back towards Raleigh.
You know, of course, that when I like a man, I reward him.
I have heard that.
And what have you to say about it?
Reward my mission, Majesty, not me.
Is the mission not the man?
Then you leave me free to like you in return.
After washing her hands in a bowl held by Bess, she nods at Raleigh.
Go on.
I think it must be hard for so great a queen to know the simple pleasure of being liked for herself.
They stare at each other. The queen smiles.
Now you grow dull.
She turns and leaves, watched by Raleigh. The queen is in her candlelit chamber, sitting by the fire in her undergarments. Bess lights her pipe for her. She inhales and hands the pipe back. Bess smiles and puffs on it, relighting it with a taper. The queen leans back as she laughs. A grassy expanse dotted with trees viewed from a hilltop. In the distance, two riders gallop across the field. The Queen and Raleigh race alongside each other. They gallop uphill, the Queen riding side saddle. Raleigh's horse takes the lead. They slow to a canter.
Mine!
You have a stronger horse.
Yours carries a lighter load.
No. The Queen does not give way to others.
Whoa!
Raleigh's horse rears.
Forgive me, Majesty. My horse doesn't seem to know his place yet.
Have you ever known your place, Mr. Raleigh?
She canters ahead of Raleigh.
Well, come on!
They ride up to a wood on a hill where Bess and the royal party wait for them. They pull up. Raleigh dismounts. Walsingham, arms folded, looking stern, watches Raleigh help the smiling queen down from her horse. She spots Walsingham. Her smile fades. Reston unfolds a note with Babington in his cellar.
It's from her. Mary Stuart is the heart and soul of our enterprise.
He picks up a quill and pens a reply, watched by Babington. He folds up the note.
Make sure she and only she reads this. We wait for her order.
He gives it to an aide.
The order must be given clearly.
At Fotheringay, Mary kneels at her altar, writing.
Jailer, madame.
She hides the note in her prayer book.
My noble jailer. Am I a danger to England even when I pray?
As always, ma'am, my concern is for your safety.
I pray for my cousin Elizabeth. Do you think she prays for me?
The Queen is in a round room lit by dozens of candles, lying in a bath.
Is it true that I've never known the pleasure of being liked for myself?
I hope you believe I like you for yourself, my lady.
Bess strokes her hair.
Is anyone ever liked simply for themselves? I doubt it. You? Men like you. Because you're pretty. And because you have the ear of the Queen.
No doubt.
Him too. He likes you because he wants my favor. You do realize that?
Yes, my lady.
And the other thing too, of course. But then all men want that. Male desire implies no distinction. Oh, I envy you, Bess. You're free to have what I cannot have. You're my adventurer.
Bess rests her head on the Queen's. Bess paces her bedchamber, reading a note. She leaves, grabbing her cloak, which is draped over a screen. Looking around, dressed in the cloak with the hood up, she walks down a passageway, followed by a shadowy figure, her cousin, Francis. She knocks on a door, checks no one is watching, and enters a gloomy room, followed by Francis.
Thank you for coming.
You mustn't send letters to the palace. You know what would happen if I was caught.
I need your help.
More money?
No. My father doesn't want to hide like this anymore.
Of course.
We both want to get back into favor with the court.
That's impossible. You know it, you're papist.
Why? Impossible. Everyone at court has a papist somewhere in their family.
Francis.
Just as you have. Speak to the Queen. You are her favorite. My father and I will embrace the new faith. Cousin Bess.
No.
We have known each other all our lives. I would do nothing to harm you. Why can't you help us? They will kill us!
Bess, looking thoughtful, walks down a sunlit corridor. She passes Walsingham and glances back at him. Seated on the floor, the Queen is looking at a map with Raleigh.
Do not tease me, Mr. Raleigh. There's nothing I'd like to do more.
So why don't you?
All right, then. I will. You see? You lie. You don't want me on your ship at all. You're a liar.
They both look up as Bess arrives.
Bess, would you like to go see?
I'm afraid that's not possible. Women bring bad luck on board ship.
Do they?
Lock up 100 men in a space smaller than this room for months at a time. Men have needs.
A beautiful woman would drive us all mad.
Men have needs.
The Queen gets up.
Let them stay on land and see to their needs.
Mr. Raleigh is eager to sail away to his maiden colony.
We must persuade him to stay a little longer, mustn't we? Ladies.
Francis is in his room writing. He goes to the door. Through the window, he sees a female figure waiting outside.
Bess?
He opens the door. It's not Bess. Three men barge in.
Go! Bess! What do you want? Who are you? Let me go! Damn it! Who the hell are you?
In a dark dungeon, Walsingham watches a coffin-shaped metal cage being lowered from the ceiling. He steps forward. He opens a spiked door in the cage to reveal the bloody face of Francis. He swings round in the cage, two guards dragging an old man on his knees.
And if you won't assist me, perhaps your father will.
No!
Francis, breathing heavily, looks across at his father.
Enough! Enough!
Walsingham turns the cage to face him.
Yes.
Walsingham looks troubled.
Ambassador?
The Queen strides past the Spanish ambassador.
What do you know of the Enterprise of England?
The Enterprise, forgive me, honestly, I'm not familiar.
Two armies landing on the coast of Sussex and
Norfolk.
Mary Stuart is to be set free and placed on the English throne, and I am to be assassinated. Does any of this sound familiar?
I know nothing of any invasion.
Well, I refer to this plan as the Enterprise of England. It should more accurately be called La Empresa de Inglaterra, because it is a Spanish plan. The plan of my one-time brother-in-law, your king, to attack my country.
Your country? It is my country that is under attack.
She stops and turns.
Your so-called piratas, your pirates, attack our merchant ships daily, and you... Why, you think we don't know where the orders come from? The whole world knows these pirates sail up the Thames all the way to your royal bed.
Her courtier draws his sword.
You will leave my presence, sir. Go back to your rat hole. Tell Philip I fear neither him, nor his priest, nor his armies.
Tell him if he wants to shake his little fist at us, we're ready to give him such a bite he'll wish he'd kept his hands in his pockets.
You see a leaf fall, and you think you know which way the wind blows. Well, there is a wind coming, madam, that will sweep away your pride.
He bows and leaves with his entourage.
I too can command the wind, sir! I have a hurricane in me that will strip Spain bare if you dare to try me!
As the Spanish leave, the Queen, in a magnificent gold-coloured gown, storms off looking furious. Raleigh waits in the shadows as she approaches.
What are you staring at? Lower your eyes. I am the Queen! You are not my equal, sir, and you never will be.
Raleigh looks worried as the Queen strides away. In Spain, Philip is at the docks where the Armada is being prepared, silhouetted in procession with his cardinals behind a flag. Majesty, Elizabeth has come to know of our enterprise. Then we will attack as soon as possible. God has abandoned Elizabeth. England must be crushed. Certainly, Majesty. What news of the Jesuit? His mission proceeds as planned, Majesty. The fleet must be ready to sail in a month. That's impossible, Majesty. Impossible is not God, only a miracle. Exactly, a miracle. God's miracle. Yes, Majesty.
El milagro de Dios.
Sí, sí, Majestad.
The Queen, looking pensive, is being rowed along the river at night. Walsingham is with her. A cloud passes across the full moon.
The alignments of the planets is most unusual this year. Mars is due to take the ascendant 3 days after the anniversary of your Majesty's birth, and also on that day there is a full moon, which governs the fortune of all princes of a female gender.
Princes of the female gender?
I mean to say, a prince who is also a woman.
Yes, Dr. D, I am following you.
What does it mean?
It means the rise of a great empire, Majesty. The fall of another. Convulsions.
She looks worried.
Which empire is to rise and which is to fall?
That I cannot say, Majesty. Astrology is, as yet, more an art than a science.
Nothing more, Dr. D. No more specific calamities we can guard against.
He means, will I be assassinated? Walsingham, would you leave us for a moment?
Walsingham leaves. The Queen turns and walks towards the Royal Astrologer.
And the private life of this prince of the female gender, what did the stars foretell there?
These are matters of state, Majesty.
Surely the stars foretell matters of state, Dr. D?
For such a prediction, I must look in a different chart.
She leans forward and allows him to cup her face in his hands.
Wonderful. Such strength. You will need all your strength in the days to come. But you doubt yourself, my child. I have not seen fear in your face for such a long time.
Have I reason to fear?
Something has weakened. There are hard days coming.
She nods solemnly. He sits back.
But I am no prophet. I see no more than the shadows of ghosts.
Raleigh is on his ship.
Visitor, sir.
He stands up as Bess steps on board in the darkness. She clasps her hands nervously. He looks down at her from the bridge.
Sorry to come aboard your ship without permission, Mr. Raleigh.
He descends a staircase to join her on deck. She looks down awkwardly.
Welcome aboard.
The Queen wishes to see you. She asks me to assure you...
I need no assurances, Bess. I'm no courtier, never have been.
Then you should say so in person.
He looks down thoughtfully, then turns away.
This is my life, Bess. This is where I belong.
She walks over to join him.
Seems to be a lonely life.
Sometimes. But it's the life I've chosen.
They look over the side of the ship.
I understand.
Raleigh enters the Queen's dressing room, where a selection of red curly wigs sit on stands. Elizabeth is reading a letter. She holds it up, looking upset.
You ask permission to go?
Yes, Majesty.
You plan to return to your colony for 2, maybe 3, 4 years?
If Your Majesty grants me your royal warrant.
That is a long time.
There's nothing for me here. At sea, I know what I'm to do. I know the risks. Here...
No, you're wrong. You're needed here. As captain of my personal guard.
Captain of your guard?
Kneel.
Majesty.
I said kneel.
Frowning, he slowly kneels before her.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
She looks uncomfortable.
Well? You may express your gratitude.
This is too great an honor.
If it's so great an honor, why are you staring at your boots?
You know why.
Oh, you stare at the wall. Am I so hideous you cannot even look me in the face?
Why do you speak like a fool when you're anything but a fool?
Fool? Yes, I am. A vain and foolish woman. And you come here as if from another time, and I've... You have real adventures. You go with a map then. And I would follow you there if I could. Believe me.
She sits on a step, distraught. He takes a step towards her.
The storm clouds are gathering. You are needed here.
She throws his letter away.
You cannot leave England.
She turns her head away petulantly. He looks down at her, then turns and leaves. She stands up, looking bereft. A man takes a garment out of a vat of red dye and wrings it out.
In unitate sudum spiritus sancti deus spero secula seculorum. In unitate sudum spiritus sancti deus per omnia secula seculorum. For he that will save his life will lose it. And he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Lord, be with us as the end approaches. We will not fear the coming of the shadow of death.
Beaten and bloodied, Francis is hanged while Reston prays for him in the cellar. Bess kneels by an altar, head bowed in prayer. Raleigh approaches in the shadows. Slowly, she looks up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you.
I thought I prayed in silence.
You did.
She stands up slowly and walks past him.
Excuse me, sir. I must go to the Queen.
The man who was hanged today.
She stops.
He was your cousin.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
She turns to look at Raleigh.
The last time I saw him, he needed my help. I did nothing.
What could you have done?
I don't know. Now he's dead. I keep seeing his face. I keep seeing his eyes.
Believe me, there's nothing that you could have done that would have spared him.
I'm so afraid.
We're all human, Bess. We do what we can.
He moves closer and strokes her cheek. She holds his hand. They stare at each other, moving closer in the shadows. They kiss, tenderly. They separate, then kiss again, more passionately. A stormy sky over Fotheringay Castle.
Your laundress was found to be carrying letters in her washing. Not her job, I think.
How am I to send my intimate letters?
Through me.
And you will read them?
With respectful admiration.
Am I to have no privacy?
No.
You disappoint me, sir.
The Queen orders these measures for your protection.
The Queen? I am a queen.
The laundress scurries off, crying. Mary looks defiant as her ladies-in-waiting gather round. One carrying the dog.
They call her the Virgin Queen. Why is that, sir? Can it be that no man will have her?
The jailer leaves. Raleigh sits behind Bess by the fireside. He leans over and kisses her neck. From behind, he slowly strokes her breasts while she undoes the laces of her undergarment in the flickering firelight. She bows her head demurely. The queen, wigless, undresses in her chamber, lit by scores of candles. She lets her robe drop to the floor. Naked, she stares at her reflection without makeup. Bess and Raleigh are naked, making love in front of the fire. The queen clasps a hand over her mouth, then over her chest, sporting a large amethyst ring. Hands on hips, twitching impatiently, wearing a dark blue sequined gown with a gold collar, the queen watches a dance instructor lifting Bess off her feet.
Let him throw you round! Be bold! Come on, you can trust him!
And jump! Bend like this, you take a leap into the air.
The Volta. I require all my ladies to learn it.
She goes to Raleigh.
You see how fearless Bess is?
You like your ladies to jump at your command.
Do you think that wrong?
No, you are the queen. You are to be obeyed.
Tell you the truth. I'm very, very tired of always being in control.
Nonsense.
What?
You eat and drink control.
Is that so?
She scowls at Raleigh as she claps her hand.
Yes. You should try a dance with Sir Walter. He's eager to show us his skill.
No skill at all, Majesty. I don't know the steps.
Come now.
She takes Raleigh's arm. She leads him to Bess.
You stand like this with your hands here, and when she jumps, whoop, on the fifth step...
She puts his hand on Bess's crotch.
You lift her. What could be simpler?
She steps back, glaring at Raleigh.
Take your position, Sir Walter. I am to be obeyed.
As your Majesty wishes.
He takes off his sword.
You hold her firmly. I don't want her dropped.
She grips Bess's arms and kisses her, then sweeps away to sit on her throne and watch.
Play!
Six counts. One, two, three, and lift down.
Bess rests her hands on Raleigh's shoulders. He grips her round the waist, then lifts her with one hand between her legs. A group of ladies-in-waiting watch them dance as Raleigh lifts her repeatedly. The musicians play next to the queen, who watches, gripping the arms of her wooden throne. Walsingham arrives and approaches her. She raises her arm dismissively.
Leave us. I want both of them left alone.
He bows and withdraws. The queen watches Bess and Raleigh with a pained expression. She imagines herself with long red hair, smiling, carefree, laughing and dancing with Raleigh, then with him in her regal attire, looking anguished. Breathing heavily, she continues to grip the arms of her throne as she watches Bess and Raleigh. Dawn. A horse and cart cross the bridge on the way to Fotheringay Castle. There are barrels with sacking around the stoppers on the cart. They're rolled down chutes into the cellar. A lady-in-waiting pulls a note out of one of the stoppers. She fishes the note out of her skirt and gives it to Mary. Mary sits down and reads it. Her lady-in-waiting hovers behind her with a worried expression. Mary looks ashen.
I must reply.
Reston reads a note.
If our forces are in readiness, both within and without the realm, then your queen commands you to set the gentleman to work. I think we have it.
He hands the note to William Walsingham.
Yes.
Reston snatches it back and hands a gun to Babington.
Let God's work begin.
Walsingham is in his library, reading, wearing thick spectacles in which he can see a blurred image of his brother William approaching from behind.
Where have you been?
I met up with some old friends.
From Paris, no doubt. We haven't seen you for days.
Yes.
Now you're back.
He smiles and removes his glasses.
Do you know? I can still remember the day you were born. I was 11 years old.
He stands up to face him.
You, this helpless bundle. I looked at you in your crib, with your little wrinkled face. I loved you from the first. I failed you, haven't I? Forgive me if I haven't loved you enough.
He embraces William, who sobs on his shoulder. He releases him, then feels for William's hand and removes a dagger.
Did you imagine I wouldn't know?
He drops it on the floor. The Queen processes through a crowd.
Bless him, Majesty, my little boy.
A woman steps out in front of the Queen, holding out a baby. The Queen passes her hand over the child's head. The woman backs away, head bowed. Babington lurks in the crowd looking furtive. The Queen, wearing a cream and gold gown and a lace train, smiles as she walks on, followed by Bess and the rest of her entourage. She enters a church and kneels before the altar.
The Queen is at her prayers.
Elizabeth prays on the altar steps. Outside, Babington and a young bearded man exchange looks. Babington punches his accomplice in the stomach to create a diversion.
Stop!
Elizabeth is a whore! Mary Stuart is a true queen!
Babington runs into the church with his gun.
Elizabeth!
The ladies-in-waiting turn, looking horrified. The Queen turns. Slowly she stands up, white-faced. Babington, young and freckly, stares at her, baring his teeth and twitching nervously. The gun is shaking in his hand. She steps towards him. He looks on the verge of tears. She glides towards him, a vision in white and gold, holding out the palms of her hands in supplication, a large gold ring on her wedding finger. Babington and Elizabeth hold each other's gaze. Rigid with fear but with a determined expression, the Queen moves slowly towards him. Bess leaps up. The sun shines through the stained glass window above the altar. Bess looks anguished. Babington is hauled away by guards, still staring at the Queen. She suddenly collapses. At Fotheringay, the jailer approaches Mary.
You bring news?
Mary's lady-in-waiting moves to one side.
The Queen has been attacked.
Mary taps her hand nervously.
The assassin seized.
Mary glances at her lady-in-waiting, then leans forward, agitated.
The Queen. Unharmed.
Mary stands up.
Unharmed?
And you, ma'am, are to be tried for treason.
She laughs as a posse of soldiers arrives with the cellar man.
Any of this to do with me?
The jailer turns back to the cellar man, who gives him a stopper from a barrel.
It's the trouble with intrigues, isn't it?
There's so many secrets, you can never quite be sure who's on whose side till the game ends.
Mary watches anxiously as he extracts a note from the stopper.
Walsingham is every letter you've written.
Tears roll down her cheeks. She waggles a finger at him with a mad smile, then turns away briefly. She stretches out her arms helplessly. Her lady-in-waiting watches anxiously. She collapses on the floor. The jailer turns and leaves with the cellar man. Walsingham peers through a cell door at Babington, naked and bleeding, sitting on the floor, hugging his knees, shaking uncontrollably. Walsingham enters another cell with black walls, shiny with damp, where Reston is chained in his undershirt.
Ready to die, I see, Jesuit.
I have done what I was sent to do.
Why was the gun not loaded?
Reston smiles enigmatically at Walsingham as he leaves. He shuts his eyes and tilts back his head. Walsingham visits his brother, who lies on the floor in another cell, chained and sobbing.
I need your help. I too have failed, brother. What was the Jesuit sent to do?
I told you everything I know. So kill me.
William cowers.
There's a better world waiting for me.
He looks up at Walsingham.
We'll all be judged in the end, brother. Even you.
You're not a martyr. You weren't even much of a murderer.
Walsingham leans over William, gripping his arm.
I'm going to have you taken to France. No one will know.
You must never let me hear of you again.
Walsingham stands up and leaves.
Francis! Francis! Francis!
Bess and Raleigh walk down a sunny corridor.
I've never seen her so distressed. She's been alone in her room since morning. She'll see no one.
Has she asked for me?
No, but she needs you. I know she does. Go to her. Please.
Ashen-faced, the Queen sits cross-legged on her bed in a green silk gown, a Bible open before her, surrounded by screwed-up notes. She starts to unfold a piece of paper when Raleigh approaches.
Are you here to tell me I must murder a queen?
I would never presume to tell my queen what to do. Only you know where your duty lies.
Was it my father's duty to murder my mother? She was a queen for a time. Oh, I would be loath to die so bloody a death.
She bows her head.
Since when were you so afraid?
She looks up at him.
I'm always afraid.
Kill a queen, and all queens are mortal.
He slowly moves closer to the bed.
We mortals have many weaknesses. We feel too much, hurt too much. All too soon we die. But we do have the chance of love.
She looks up at him with a distracted air.
Do we?
She bows her head again.
I have given England my life. But she also has my soul.
Mary Stuart must die!
Must. Mary Stuart must die. Where is it written? Who says so? Have I ordered it?
Majesty, this is no time for mercy.
Don't preach at me, old man!
He picks up the order.
Look at you. You can hardly stand. Go home to your wife, your bed,
The law must have its way.
By whose authority do you condemn me? God is my only judge.
The law is for common men, not for princes.
The law, Your Majesty, is for the protection of your people.
He bows and leaves.
Leave me.
She looks troubled as the chamber empties. Covering her eyes with one hand, she wearily sits down on her throne.
You know neither who you are or what you do. I know who I am. And if I die, it shall be as I have lived. As a queen, trusting in the mercy of God my Father.
Philip of Spain, who is in church with his ambassador, says they have letters in Mary Stuart's own hand. All of England cries out for her death. Isabella joins her father behind the purple-draped altar. My daughter, how would you like to be Queen of England?
Inglaterra.
The ambassador, kneeling, looks up at his king. Philip smiles and glances at Isabella. Fotheringay. Mary lies on her bed with her dog. Her lady-in-waiting sits alongside. She turns to her jailer.
At which hour?
At 8. Tomorrow morning.
The lady-in-waiting bursts into tears. Bess and the other ladies-in-waiting watch anxiously as Elizabeth, still in her green gown, paces up and down, distraught. Dressed in black, holding a rosary and a prayer book, Mary views the block on which she will be beheaded. She shuts her prayer book. Meanwhile, Elizabeth, crying, strides down a corridor, followed by her ladies-in-waiting. Looking serene, Mary hitches her skirt and approaches the block, watched by her jailer. In England, Elizabeth looks around wildly. The lady-in-waiting removes Mary's robe, revealing a scarlet off-the-shoulder undergarment. She stands calmly in front of the block. The executioner watches, hands clasped in front of him, as Mary kneels before the block. She rests her neck on it, her shoulders bare. She looks up at the executioner, smiles and mouths, "I forgive you with all my heart." She places her neck back on the block. Elizabeth is distraught, her hand clamped over her mouth. She leans on a stone pillar, hand on hip, head bowed. An aerial view of Elizabeth, followed by her entourage, walking down a tiled corridor. She waves her arms and sinks to her knees and is comforted by Raleigh. Bess runs up to her. Elizabeth sobs on Raleigh's shoulder. In Scotland, Mary looks calm, waiting for the axe to fall. The executioner places her arms behind her back. Mary raises her head to look at a throne with red velvet cushions. The jailer and others watch. Her chief lady-in-waiting weeps, dressed in black. Mary lowers her head onto the block. The axe hovers above her neck. She remains calm as the executioner raises the axe above his head. She's beheaded. The jailer shuts his eyes. Her lady-in-waiting screams silently. A sweet Christian lady slain by a godless, childless bastard. Blood must pay for blood. Philip is in church, heading a procession. Elizabeth. Bastard. Philip stops and looks over his shoulder. I call the legions of Christ to war. He continues processing. Blood-soaked virgin. She will pay with her country, her throne, and her life. Elizabeth sits on a gold throne.
Forgive me, Majesty. I have failed you.
How have you failed me? What am I to forgive you for?
Philip of Spain is a God-fearing man who cannot declare war without a just cause. I intercepted every letter Mary Stuart secretly dispatched, but failed to see that Spain knew I was reading them. They waited for her to write the words that would, in my eyes, confirm her treason. Forgive me. I'm trapped in my own web.
And I ordered Mary's execution. I murdered God's anointed queen. And now God's most dutiful son makes holy war to punish me.
The queen looks anguished, arms outstretched, resting on the sides of the throne, wearing a vivid royal blue gown. She shuts her eyes. Philip blesses the armada, sprinkling holy water as its cannons fire. A flag unfurls of Christ on the cross.
We are at war. Who knows when we will meet again? If we will meet again. If England falls, my last days will be in a Spanish prison. To die far from home, that is the loneliest death.
Never.
My thoughts turn dark.
Elizabeth sits next to Raleigh in front of the fire.
What do you do in a storm when you're facing your death?
The closer I come to death, the more I want to live. The hungrier I am for life.
Yes. To live right to the end.
Why be afraid of tomorrow when today is all we have?
I wish.
I have never known a woman like you.
They stare at each other.
In some other world, in some other time, could you have loved me?
I know only one world. And in this world, I have loved you.
She smiles, eyes downcast, while he gazes at her.
There's something you could do for me. Something I have not known for a very long time. If you felt so inclined. But it's not to be spoken of. Afterward. It must be forgotten. Just for now.
The fire flickers next to them. Raleigh slowly leans towards her, touching her cheek. They kiss tenderly.
die.
She holds his hand against her face. She rests her head on his lap.
I've given Drake the order to prepare the fleet to defend the channel. How soon can you join it?
We're waiting for supplies. We can move as soon as we're ready and armed.
Good.
Bess stands next to the steps that Raleigh's climbing.
Bess.
I have something to tell you. I ask for nothing. Is that understood? Your life is your own. Nothing will change.
What is this?
She takes his hands and pulls him closer.
You're with child.
No one knows. My plans are made. I shall ask the Queen for permission to leave court.
Where will you go?
To my mother's house. I'm a ward of the Queen. I can't court a man without her permission. I can't marry without her permission. As for having a child, your child.
All I know is nothing's as it should be.
Oh, please listen. You once said to me, whatever I have to give, ask and it's yours. Do you remember?
Of course I remember.
I ask that you forget me. Go to your ship. Do your duty. Forget
me. Bess! We're summoned!
I'm coming!
As Bess hurries away, the other lady-in-waiting glances at Raleigh. The Queen walks across a huge map of Europe on the floor.
This Spanish armada is at sea with an army of 10,000 men. And Philip's friend, the Duke of Parma, has 15,000 men on the French coast.
They plan to cross the channel in barges and sail into the Thames.
They don't have enough barges yet. We have a little time. And our forces defend the mouth of the Thames at Tilbury with, what, Hatton, 4,000 men?
3,000. Possibly.
If the Spanish fleet unites the barges, their combined strength will overwhelm us.
Then we shall engage them at sea, before they have the chance to unite.
Your Majesty, this vast armada will surely smash through our naval defenses and overrun us on land. We must prepare for the worst.
Watched by her court, squatting on the floor, the Queen uses a jeweled stick to point at Harwich on the east coast above London. A large gold model of Drake's ship, the Golden Hind, gleams in the sunshine that streams in through the windows. A Spanish armada advances under a stormy sky. A beam of sunlight pierces the clouds. The Queen awakes with a start and opens a window.
With this ring, I thee wed.
With my body, I thee worship.
With my body, I thee worship.
And with all my worldly goods, I thee endow.
And with all my worldly goods, I thee endow.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
While Bess and Raleigh marry at night in a candlelit chapel, the Queen leans out of her window, gasping the fresh air.
Bess! Bess! Bess Throckmorton!
Elizabeth strides through her palace. Bess arrives.
Here, my lady.
Tell me, is it true? Are you with child? Are you with child?
Yes, you, my lady.
Traitress. You dare to keep secrets from me? You ask my permission before you butt, before you breed! My bitches wear my collars! Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Majesty, please, dignity, mercy.
This is no time for mercy, Walsingham. You go to your traitor brother and leave me to my business. Is it his? Tell me, say it. Is the child his? Is it his?
Yes. My lady. It is my husband's child.
The Queen lashes out again.
Oh, it is!
Majesty.
This is not the queen I love and serve.
Elizabeth looks taken aback, then points at Raleigh.
This man has seduced a ward of the queen, and she has married without royal consent! These offences are punishable by law. Arrest him!
Walsingham looks shocked.
Go!
Walsingham nods and walks past Raleigh while Bess sobs.
You no longer have the queen's protection.
As you wish, Majesty.
Get out! Get out! Get out!
Bess, Raleigh and Walsingham leave.
Get out!
The queen, head bowed, leans against a stone pillar. She sinks to the floor. Raleigh is in jail. The queen is with her astrologer.
The fall of an empire, you told me. Did you mean the English Empire? Because by God, England will not fall while I am queen. If that is your prophecy, sir, you prophesy again.
You want me to tell your majesty only what your majesty chooses to hear?
I will not be a toy of the fates! Have I not faced an assassin's bullet and lived? Just tell me there's no certainty. That any outcome is possible. The shadow of ghosts, you said. Please, just give me hope.
The forces that shape our world are greater than all of us, Majesty. How can I promise that they'll conspire in your favor, even though you are the Queen? But this much I know. When the storm breaks, each man acts in accordance with his own nature. Some are dumb with terror. Some flee. Some hide. And some spread their wings like eagles and soar on the wind.
The Queen looks as if she's had an idea.
You are a wise man, Dr. D.
And you, madam, are a very great lady.
She smiles. Nighttime. A lookout sits in a clifftop shack. He spots the Armada on the horizon and lights a torch from a brazier, then climbs a ladder to ignite a huge beacon which flares. Walsingham waits at court while beacons are lit all along the coastline. The Queen watches out of her window as a beacon is lit at her palace on the river in London. She turns away from the window to face Walsingham and her advisers.
My lords, I can offer you no words of comfort. This armada that sails against us carries in its bowels the Inquisition. God forbid it succeeds, for then there will be no more liberty in England, of conscience or of thought. We cannot be defeated. The bells are to ring from every tower, laborers are to leave the fields and take up arms. The harvest must wait. All prisoners are to be released. England is their country too.
With a determined expression, the Queen strides ahead of Walsingham, then pauses, wearing a purple silk gown adorned with a black lace ruff, two curled feathers on her head.
And release Raleigh.
She nods and shuts her eyes. She opens her eyes and shakes her head.
Was I too long to be forgiven?
The fleet sets sail, leaving the white cliffs of Dover behind.
Let the fleet know we're on our way, Mr. Kelly!
Let's go! Fire a bullseye from the bow!
stands at the prow holding the rigging, staring ahead. On the cliff top, a group of mounted soldiers carrying lances canter past foot soldiers. Behind them, cream-coloured tents. Inside, Walsingham sits at a desk by lace drapes.
Majesty, the enemy has been engaged.
She strides through the drapes.
What news?
A brave action, Majesty. Two ships lost.
With what gain?
The enemy continue to advance.
She is handed a note. She wears a gold breastplate with a high collar. The Armada and the fleet exchange fire at close quarters. Sir Francis Drake watches, holding onto a rope.
Another four ships lost.
We must continue to engage and harass the enemy.
We're outgunned, Drake. Decisively. We're losing too many ships. We must fall back and defend the coast.
Drake and Raleigh study a chart.
If the wind is with us, Walter, we can attack them with fireships. Six fireships into the Spanish formation. That may force them to scatter.
We can't get anywhere near them.
We have to break their formation. It's our only chance.
The Queen is being fitted with armor.
The Spanish are barely a day away, Majesty.
We must withdraw to safe ground.
I beg you to appreciate the gravity of the situation. There is very little time.
She removes her ring. Walsingham waits outside the lace drapes. A blue sky over a grassy hilltop. The tops of flags appear over the horizon. Foot soldiers stop and stare as a group of mounted soldiers appear on the hilltop, bearing flags of red and yellow. The foot soldiers stand on the hillside. The Queen, wearing a waist-length red wig and shiny silver armour, arrives on a white horse and halts before her men.
My loving people! We see the sails of the enemy approaching. We hear the Spanish guns over the water. Soon now, we will meet them face to face. I am resolved in the midst and heat of the battle to live or die amongst you all! While we stand together, no invader shall pass! Let them come with the armies of hell! They will not pass! Is ended. We meet again in heaven or on the field of victory.
She holds up her arm in salute and smiles. Soldiers push a cannon on wheels. Sailors fall through the rigging of a ship under fire. An explosion knocks the crew off their feet. Walsingham and his advisors look serious. The Queen stares ahead, stony-faced. A sailor shakes a man lying on his back on deck. Ships fire at each other at close range. A man is trapped under the wreckage.
Help me!
A wounded soldier is blown off his feet. A sailor drags himself along, one foot blown off. The sea crashes over rocks under a stormy sky. Two Spanish officers look worried. We'll be driven onto the rocks. Drop anchor. Our orders are to proceed with all haste. If we don't drop anchor, we will break formation. Drop anchor! Hurry! A sailor rolls a barrel across the deck. Hurry! Let's go! The crew heave on ropes. Drop anchor! The anchor drops into the ocean with a splash. Raleigh holds a flaming torch. He throws it at a coil of tarred rope on deck and sets his ship ablaze, then swings on a rope, landing on the side of the vessel as it floats towards a Spanish ship. The Spanish fire at him. looks up at the blaze. He dives into the sea, swimming downwards as his ship smashes into the Spanish one, sending its crew into a panic. The prow crashes into the side of the vessel, knocking men flying. White horses on deck move around, panicked by the carnage. Raleigh is still swimming underwater. The horses rear amongst the chaos on the Spanish ship above. Raleigh swims in the orange glow caused by the blazing vessel above him. A white horse jumps over the side. Philip glances anxiously at a cross in the window of his Spanish palace. The Queen, still in armour, stands in a tent which billows in the wind. Papers fly off a desk. Philip stares at a candle. Elizabeth is darkness. I am light. The lace drapes billow behind Elizabeth as she stands motionless. The charts roll off the desk in the wind. Clouds cover the moon. The astrologer pores over his charts using a magnifying glass. Walsingham sits in a tent, looking around. Elizabeth looks up at the stormy night sky. Lightning flashes. She puts her ring back on her finger. Wigless, with cropped hair, in a flowing white nightdress that billows in the wind, the Queen leaves the tent and walks to the edge of the cliffs. She stares out to sea at the horizon, where the night sky glows orange as the battle rages. Black smoke billows from the blazing ships. The sea crashes on the rocks below. She smiles proudly and shuts her eyes. Lightning flashes. In Spain, Philip's candle blows out. Forked lightning flashes, the waves crash onto the rocks, sending up plumes of spray. Elizabeth surveys the burning ships before her with a calm smile. The wrecked ships tilt on the stormy sea, their ripped sails flapping. Raleigh and Drake watch the Armada burn. A brass bell drops to the bottom of the ocean. A horse swims past floating corpses. A rosary floats in the water. In Spain, Isabella looks impassive. Her father, Philip, listens to a priest. O God Almighty, calm your wrath. He looks distraught in front of his red-clad cardinals. Your mighty wind has humbled our pride. Our ships have been destroyed. Our armies have perished. A gold cross falls into the sea. This is your will, Lord. Philip looks grief-stricken, dressed in black. He sinks to his knees, level with the effigy of Elizabeth that Isabella is holding. Looks down at her father scornfully, then turns to face the altar. Philip turns his head to the side and screws up his eyes, sobbing as the cardinals file out. Elizabeth is dressed in a cream and gold gown. From her shoulders, a full-length, stiff white net cloak balloons out. A star-shaped crown is mounted on her red-wigged head. She stands like a statue with her palms upturned. Sunlight streams in through a window, bleaching her, so she looks like an alabaster statue. She enters Walsingham's apartment, where he lies in a large bed.
Francis.
Dressed in grey, she glides across the black and white tiled floor, his family back away from the bed. She takes his hand and sits on the edge of the bed, looking down at him.
don't need me anymore.
His daughter sobs at her mother's side. Elizabeth, pale-faced, stands up and leans over him.
You rest here.
She kisses his forehead.
Old friend.
She straightens up and slowly walks away. Walsingham's daughter returns to the bedside. Elizabeth pauses and looks over her shoulder before leaving. She stands in front of a diamond-paned window. Raleigh waits in front of the hearth.
Elizabeth has a son. You must be proud.
Very.
And fulfilled.
As any man can be.
Do you still dream of your shining city in the new world?
Always.
Bess, her hair hanging loose, enters carrying a baby. She approaches the Queen. She kisses the baby. Elizabeth watches her.
I'd like to give your son my blessing.
I'd be honoured.
The Queen approaches Bess, who hands her the baby. She cradles him gently in her arms. Bess straightens the baby's gown. The Queen smiles as she looks down at the child. The baby yawns. The Queen smiles and glances at Bess. Bess looks over at her husband, who smiles proudly, watching the Queen nurse his child. Sunlight streams in through the window, bathing the Queen and the baby in a golden glow.
I am called the Virgin Queen. Unmarried, I have no master. Childless, I am mother to my people. God, give me strength to bear this mighty freedom. I am your queen. I am myself.
The Queen stands on the map on the floor between England and the continent, her train billowing. Caption: The loss of the Armada was the most humiliating defeat in Spain's naval history. Philip died 10 years later, leaving Spain bankrupt. England entered a time of peace and prosperity. Elizabeth, 1533 to 1603. The end.